But, and just one other point I'll make on that issue, and then I know Mike has a point, is that sometimes the sanctions that juvenile courts will instill on these kids can be very effective. You know, as an example, we have a unit called the Crime Prevention Gang Unit, and each district has a gang officer. And the gang officers get to know these kids, particularly the ones that are under sanctions. And just as a tangible illustration of the effect of that, if you go back 4 or 5 years ago at the Elver Park fireworks, we used to have some pretty significant disturbances with youths involved in gangs. I mean, just major problems, fights, brawls, huge things. And every year now we have the crime prevention gang officers work there, and they know all these kids, and they know because they're in the system. And they just walk up to them and say, you know, hey, Joe, how's it going? You know, take it easy tonight. And the difference that that has, because these kids know that they're not anonymous, they're in the system now, and that further problems could lead to them being locked up or sent away. So I don't want to give the illustration that it is completely toothless, but it isn't as if people are getting sent off to prison for one offense.
I was just going to add, ma'am, to your point about feeling safe and walking, whether you're in this neighborhood, a more challenged neighborhood, or Maple Bluff, wherever you live, you have to be aware of your surroundings as you're walking. And whether it's for having music on or just being engaged in your thoughts, watching out for bicyclists, motorists, what have you. And with that comes knowing your surroundings and what your goal is. Are you walking to get exercise? Are you walking during the day, at night? To be honest with you, to see people alone, and we shouldn't have to feel this way, but at 11 at night, walking up and down roads in certain areas, maybe you want to have a friend with you, a neighbor, a spouse, or what have you. So there's no reason to think that you can't walk or anything like that, especially in this neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. There's a lot of great things going on around here. But just take precautions and know your surroundings, and you'll feel safer. People feel like they have to have their cell phone when they're walking or jogging plugged into 911, or they feel like they have to be on the phone talking so they can quick tell a friend, I'm on Barton Road and someone's approached me on a bike. Well, when you're on that phone talking, obviously most of the time nothing major is going to happen. When you're on that phone talking, you are not aware of what's going on around you. So those are some steps that we could take, and it's great that you have a dog as well. Yeah. That'll probably roll over and lick anyone that comes by. But
we do now have another neighborhood resource. We have our Alder here. Would you like to join us up here?
I was having fun. I'm happy to join.
Does everybody know Alderman Cheeks?
Hey, everybody. My name is Maurice Cheeks. Represent District 10, which you guys, of course, love. I think this is a testament to the strength of the neighborhood, frankly, that we were able to pull this together in a relatively short amount of time. We've got some of our best officers in the room, and we've got a full house. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. Sorry I'm coming from directly from another committee meeting, so apologize for being tardy.
Yes?
Who funds the DA's office? Is it purely city, county, state, what, all three?
No, it's entirely the state, which is the problem, because the state legislature doesn't have the same stake in their community, so it's all state.
Yes, the state funds the district attorney's office and the judiciary, and both are understaffed. We could use more district courts. Their calendars are full, and the district attorneys know that, and so they don't try to go to a trial because they'd be waiting forever. So you'd have to talk to your state legislator if you wanted to try to put pressure on to get more resources there. We have a couple of questions here that we'll see if we can get answered. One of them is, how many patrol cars are on the street, both maybe during the day and then at night in the West District?
Well, here's what I always like to do with this is turn it around and have people throw out what they think, and then I'll give you the answer.
Now remember, this is bigger than La Crosse, bigger than Eau Claire, bigger than Beloit. How many cars are on?
Just the West District.
Just the West District, right. Any guess?
Five
during the day or night?
Three at night and five in the day.
Any other guesses? I'll bet it's more than that. What do you think?
12 per shift.
12 on each, day and night. Any other guesses?
Three shifts.
Well, that's right, three shifts, okay. Any other guesses? What's the answer?
Well, it varies by time of day, and actually we've done it based on our workload data to try to be as efficient as we can. And so at the peak time, which is actually between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m., we have 11 officers. During the day, we have six. During the afternoon, we have officers that come on at noon to bump that number up to eight, and then at 3 o'clock, we jump up to 10, and then at 5 in the morning, we're down to 4. So there's sort of a curve of what our workload looks like every day, and then we try to get our staffing to match it as close as we can, but we have some limitations as to what we can do. And that's for 28 square miles, 340 miles of roadway, 85,000 people.
So when you say 12 officers, is that six cars or is that 12 cars?
That's single officer cars.
Single officer, okay, thank you. Last summer, there were two cars where the passengers were shooting at each other on Hammersley Road. This happened early in the evening. Did the people involved ever get caught? If so, what happened? What were the consequences of their actions? And what is being done to make sure things like this don't happen again?
I assume that's referencing the incident over by the Super America, Raymond and Verona over there.
It was on Hammersley Road, right by like 5,800.
Does everybody hear that? 5,800 block, Hammersley, okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Right on Hammersley Road, two cars shooting at each other.
Did it get reported?
Yeah, that was reported. Unfortunately, there was another one over at the Super America. We did identify the people and make arrests. I don't know what the disposition of those cases has been, so I don't know if they've worked their way through the system or if they're still pending. So unfortunately, I don't have an answer, but my recollection is that on that case, we were able to identify the people that were involved and get them in custody.
I mean, that's so dangerous. Anybody who was walking on that street could have been killed.
Really? Absolutely.
That's certainly true.
Very dangerous.
So the follow-up that was written here is, what, if anything, is the police department doing to try to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, I think, you know, in that particular instance, that is something that is again, like the attack on traitors is a huge aberration. It's very rare to have that sort of conduct happen. And so it's not really a issue that lends itself to any sort of problem solving, you know, other than dealing with those particular people involved and punishing them through the criminal justice system. You know, if we were having a half dozen of these things happen in the same area, then we might be able to put some problem solving efforts to it and try to fix it specifically. But that sort of thing is really just let the criminal justice system take its course.
So you remember we had that question about what should you do if you catch a youth? Here's an interesting follow-up question. Are the juvenile suspects typically armed?
The juvenile burglary suspects?
Yeah.
None of them have been armed when we've arrested them. We haven't always arrested them at the very moment that they've been committing the burglaries, so it's possible that they could have been armed at the time of the incident. And certainly it is not unheard of in general for us to come across juveniles who are carrying weapons, but in general it's very uncommon, pretty uncommon stuff.
We treat, if we go to a burglary, we treat it at a higher level and start out that they're armed, And then once, if we are able to make contact with anyone, then we obviously either detain them and then search them. We have protocol that we follow. So in our mindset, a responding officer, and you share this with your relatives and friends as well, we take it seriously. We try and cordon off the area as quickly as we can, get there with a lot of resources, and act as if everyone's armed, and then slow that down.
How often does a security system alarm result in apprehending a burglar?
He can answer that one.
I won't say, I can't guarantee that it's zero, but it's close to zero. You know, the way, you know, those things work, whatever electronic thing in your house triggers it, it goes through the phone line to some call center somewhere else in the country, pops up on someone's screen, they call the Dane County 911 Center, they enter it as a call, and so probably from the time that it's tripped to the time it gets to our officers is 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and then we've got a drive there. So the, you know, we've changed our alarm response protocols over the past few years, not for residences, but for businesses, just because we went to thousands of them every year, and they were 99% false. And so they are not very effective at leading their arrests. I can't tell you if they're effective at deterring people from breaking in, but they don't lead to a lot of arrests.
So is your protocol different if the alarm that goes off is a commercial establishment as opposed to a resident?
If it's a commercial establishment, basically we don't respond to those unless there's a confirmed problem. Sometimes we've made a few exceptions, like during certain hours of the day, or if we have a certain business that maybe has some high value stuff there that we're concerned about or has a trend. But generally the average commercial, the alarm goes off, the dispatcher will broadcast it just for information. And unless they have a private security company or a manager or owner that goes there and says, yes, I've got a problem, we don't respond to those anymore.
As somebody who had a big boulder thrown through her window last fall, I can tell you that the alarm did scare them off. They didn't come in.
The audible alarm.
Right.
See, and those are pretty rare, because usually most alarms are silent.
Okay.
And they just send that signal off to the call center. And
this was very low. and we weren't home. So when we came home, we didn't realize the house had been open. 24 hours. But it did scare them off.
You don't have neighbors?
What? You don't have neighbors. Who knows when the neighbors are home? and the sound is directed out, so it really is not directed to the neighbors can't hear it. It's directed straight out. Anyway, so that's an N of one, but it did work in that instance.
And that's good. I know, I mean, certainly, I think we've had plenty of instances where audible alarms don't stop someone, particularly the people who are going to smash a door and get in and get out. But
that's what, really leads me to my question, which is, are most of these by kids, or are they young adults, or do you know?
Well, the thing that we're seeing, I think, from what we've looked at this year is that there isn't one consistent pattern. There isn't one consistent MO that people are using to make me think this is one group that's doing all of them. You have some that I think are just kids walking through the neighborhood looking for open garage doors or easy opportunities. You have some that are a little more deliberate, where they're ringing the doorbell to see if somebody's home, and if they don't get an answer, they're going around back and kicking the door in. So there's a couple different sort of patterns that we're seeing. So I don't think it makes it a little tougher to you know, put our thumb on who's doing it, but I think there's a couple different ways people are doing it.